for those who are visiting with us. I appreciate very much your presence. Again, I want to encourage you to follow with me and stress that you have a responsibility to know God's Word and to live by it. The thing about faith is that each one is responsible for the things that they believe in and the commitments that they make to God. And so, do so based on truth. It doesn't mean that we can choose to believe anything that we want to, or that there's no consequence if we misunderstand God's Word, but we are responsible, and we need to understand the truth of God. You know, many of us probably know the latter portion of Ephesians chapter 5 fairly well, where it talks about the marriage relationship, the husband and the wife, and of course it relates that to the church and Jesus Christ. But really the first few verses of Ephesians 5 are very important, because what we find there is that as dear children of God, we need to follow Him in verse 1. That we need to love as Jesus Christ loved us. That Jesus gave Himself as a sacrifice to please God. And that we need to avoid the things of this world mentioned in verse 3, fornication, uncleanness, covetousness. He says, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. And so we note a list of things that should not, must not, and in fact cannot be a part of a Christian's life. Anyone who claims to be a child of God will put the things mentioned here in verse 3 and 4 and 5 out of their lives. As he says, as becometh saints in verse 3, let it not be once named among you. Because these are not the things that children of God do. These are not the things that we involve ourselves with. These are the cares of the world. These are the things that entice and draw people away from God. He says that none of these hath any inheritance of the kingdom of God, of Christ and of God. And so we recognize that as Christians, we are to be different people. It's much the same as is said in the book of Colossians. Turn over there. In Colossians chapter 3, in verse 1, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth, for you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. And then he goes on and he says, mortify certain things, put to death certain things. Your members which are upon the earth. And it gives a list, again, fornication, uncleanness, idolatry. And then down in verse 8, he begins another list of things where he talks about anger and wrath and malice. And so clearly the child of God is to have a unique, a particular and peculiar life. One that does not follow the pattern that we see in this life and in this world. Turn over to the book of Hebrews. The Hebrew writer talks about this change that has to take place. He talks about the kind of people we must be. In Hebrews chapter 10, he says, beginning in verse 30, for we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth to me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, but call to remembrance the former days in which, after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of affliction. He's reminding these Hebrew Christians about what they had given up. Now they were called upon again to suffer. And some, it seems, were choosing to go back and to put aside their faith. But the Hebrew writer reminds them, you remember what you've already gone through. You became companions of them that were used, talking about the gazing stock, as people looked upon Christians. In verse 33, with reproach, they suffered afflictions. He says in verse 35, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. If any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back into perdition, but of them who believe to the saving of the soul. And so the Hebrew writer again commends them, encourages them, you be faithful. You understand you are different. Going back to Ephesians chapter 5. He says in verse 7, be not ye therefore partakers with them. You know, many of us want to fit in this world. And we find it difficult when people look down on us and when they mock us, ridicule us because of the stand that we take. And it's true that people do not really, I think, understand why we take the position we do. They do not understand God's will. We have become a nation of people in religion that really stands for nothing. There are very few things that people will come out and say this is right or this is wrong. Think about that. Even in mainstream religion, there are very few things that we stand for. But that is not true with God's people. With God's people, we are not going to be partakers with the people of this world. We understand the clear and marked difference. You were sometimes darkness, he says in verse 8, but now are ye light in the Lord, walk as children of light. And so there's again that idea in Ephesians chapter 5, that if you are a child of God, this is the course, this is the life that you're going to live. There will be no real deviation. Oh, there are differences between us all. We have different occupations. We are from different families. We have different interests. We recognize that as we look at each other, there's enough different about us where we have no trouble making a distinction. But at the same time, we are Christians and we have a nature about us. As we look at people who are obviously different in many ways, we recognize that they are still human because they have certain characteristics, because they are of a nature. And so I have no difference telling a human from an animal. I can talk to someone. I can look at someone. And we see the clear and marked difference. The same thing is true with Christians. Yes, there are many differences that we enjoy in life, but we are of a nature. And that nature is from God. Drop down to verse 10. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Drop down to verse 17. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. How can you prove anything? If you want to set about to prove something, how do you do that? Well, in a court of law, evidence is brought forward. Evidence that will support the guilt or the innocence, depending on which perspective you come from, of the defendant. And so you bring forth evidence. Every now and then, evidently the evidence is so strong against the defendant that he is in fact, or she is in fact, guilty, that the defense will have very little, if anything, to say, and will bring very little, if any, evidence to bear on the question of guilt. Let me ask you something. When a defense attorney does that, says really nothing, has that defense attorney proven the innocence of a person? Now, I understand in our system, the burden of proof is on the prosecution. But sometimes it is incumbent upon the defense attorney to prove the innocence of a defendant. What would you think of a prosecutor who comes to court and has nothing to say, and just simply stands up before the judge, before the jury, and makes this declaration that he knows that the defendant is guilty but presents no evidence whatsoever? Would there be any credibility to that? Would you be willing to convict based on that alone? Or would you want the evidence? Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. How do we do that? How do we prove what is acceptable to the Lord? I've said this many times. It's very easy for me to simply turn to the Bible and say this is what the Bible reveals. Person wants to know what to do to be saved. I cannot find in all of the pages of the New Testament writings anything about a sinner's prayer. And yet that is what you will hear many times. I can turn to the evidence of the New Testament in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, or I can turn to the evidence of the New Testament in Acts chapter 3 and chapter 4, or I can turn to the evidence that we would find in Acts chapter 8, and we could go on and on and on. And I can demonstrate by God's words that certain things are a part of salvation, that process. If you want to know what to do in worship, there's evidence. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11 through chapter 16, all of those chapters in there at some point will mention every part of worship, from praying to singing to teaching, the Lord's Supper, giving of our means. I can show evidence. Now, I know that people do more than that in worship. Can they prove it? Can they prove what is acceptable unto the Lord? Or do they simply step outside of the boundary of evidence? You see, if I'm going to be a peculiar people, and that's the way we are described in God's Word, if I'm going to truly be different, then I am the person who says, okay, let's see what the Bible says. That is what proves what God wants. That is what proves what is acceptable to God. And so I can talk to people about praying, and I can talk to people about singing and about studying. I can talk to people about moral issues. That's why I have no hesitancy to say certain things are wrong. It is wrong to commit homosexuality. It is wrong to commit any kind of fornication. I can prove that. That which is acceptable to God. Going back to verse 17. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Brethren, the only way we can grasp God's intent, God's will for us, is if we study and we do so honestly. Go back to verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. And then he goes on and he says in verse 17 again, wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. We walk circumspectly. We walk wisely before God as we give ourselves to him, as we study, as we meditate, as we apply ourselves to God's word. That is what makes us different. That is what makes us unique. Religion is commonplace. Most people believe in something. Even the atheist believes that God is not. But understanding God's will. Those who claim to believe in God. To be honest, I tire a little bit of hearing from society, from the media, how we all believe in a God. And they will usually lump in that the Buddhist concepts, which are many. They will lump in that Islam, they will lump in that Judaism, they will lump in that the thousands of denominational concepts and ideas, religions that claim Christianity, anything that has to do with religion, they just kind of dump here together and they say, after all, we believe in God. No, they do not believe in the God of the Bible. They do not believe in the God that I believe in. They do not take God's word and prove what is acceptable to him. And so, brethren, we need to understand. Going back to verse 11 in Ephesians chapter 5. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. That is our duty and our responsibility. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be shy. Stand up for the truth of God. We do not have to be ugly or unkind or mean-spirited. We do not have to do so with malice. But stand up for what God says and be counted. Understand that we cannot have fellowship, joint communion in a spiritual sense, in a spiritual way, with those who are outside of Jesus Christ. We cannot. It is why we do not join with them in their spiritual efforts, in their spiritual works. It is why we do not offer our hand of fellowship. Because if they are not proving their works, if they are not proving it is acceptable to the Lord, then we can have nothing to do with those actions and those conducts. It is a shame, he says, even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. And what he means by secret here, it's not necessarily the idea of hush-hush, but it's the idea of not being forthright, being open, being honest. It's the idea that we're not truthful with the things that we do. And so my question is very simple tonight as we close. Are you unique and different? Not in an odd way, but in a spiritual way? Are you the kind of person who is a follower of God as dear children? Are you the kind of person who will not partake with the evil that is going on in this world? Are you the kind of person who wants to prove what is acceptable unto God, unto the Lord, by the things that are said in His Word? If you want to tell me something, if you want to convince me about something, prove it. Prove it by God's Word. When we do this, then we do as He said, redeem the time. Redeem the time. Use the time that God has given us wisely. Now, if you're not a Christian, I want you to understand that you have no hope. Thankfully, God has given us all an opportunity to change that, because without Jesus, none of us would have hope. But as long as you stand outside of Jesus Christ, in that condition, there is no hope. You have to change. Your relationship has to change. You have to come into fellowship with God. To do that, now let's see, how do we prove what is acceptable to the Lord? Well, we go back and we read what is revealed to us. And simply put, you must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You must repent. Your heart turns to Him. You must confess your faith in Christ and then be baptized, be immersed in water. That will make you a child of God. That will make you the unique, different person, different in a good way, different in a special way. And then as a child of God, live the life. Remember what we said as we began the lesson. As dear children, we are different. When we stumble, we ask God's forgiveness. And so tonight, if you need to respond, do so as together we stand and we sing the psalm that's been selected.